This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 years in the games media combined. Thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. More conversation happens over on Facebook and all other major social media outlets, but the main conversation happens on our Facebook community group at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. And if you really, really, really like what we do, jump over to Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers there. There might be something that interests you. And it is because of Patreon that we happen to have these new lovely lights.
Yes, the last video that went up on Friday is a lovely video of us showing the lights that the beautiful Patreon people helped us purchase.
With the red with the red tinge we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out why there's a weird red tinge in these lights. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's probably just my inability to correctly white balance a camera. But regardless, hey, Beanman.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a little worn out, you know.
A bit worn out.
Got the kids and the uni and the work and the
You're living life again after all those sweet weeks off.
I'm busier now than I was when I was managing the largest retail company in Australia. It's fucking weird. But instead of all the time going to the one thing, now there's all time going to many different things. So
to the world of Betson.
The balance is coming. It's coming slowly, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't have time to play games, though.
What have you been playing?
Persona 5.
Of course you have, you fucking idiot. The dumb question.
Only once more since last time, yesterday. I think it seems to be my Friday afternoon thing to jump back in for another few hours. By a few hours, I mean maybe 7, because I finished the first palace in one playthrough, one session.
Well, because now you know what you're doing.
Now I'm doing, and all your gear carries over as well. So, fuck, just one-shotting everything. So that's fun. But also I started playing Breath of the Wild.
On the Switchy. Speaking of the Switch, we got a copy of Splatoon 2. Nintendo sent that through.
Thanks,
yet
guys.
To sit down and actually have a proper go at it yet.
I should.
It's only because the embargo restrictions on the live streaming were really tight.
Well, they always are with Nintendo.
So I was like, I'll wait and we'll do something after launch. So it's launched a couple of days ago, so I might do something.
Breath of the Wild's cool.
Yeah.
I can see why people like it. I've died.
A lot.
Lots.
What's your stance on weapon degradation?
It's more, it's an annoyance. It's not bad because it does make me plan and think about, okay, well, I'm not going to use this weapon now because it'll break and I don't want to waste it on the shitty things that I don't need a strong weapon against. I would prefer if it wasn't there, but it's not so bad that I fucking hate it every minute of the day either. Mm.
As mad as I was.
Dying a lot for stupid reasons, but they're all reasons that are my fault. Mm-hmm. And I find that's probably the best thing about the game is when you do die, it is normally because it's on you.
Yeah.
Because you are given the tools from the start of the game to fucking do anything.
Yeah, so once you leave the Great Plateau, it's like you've everything you need to be able to survive.
Yeah. So when I do die, it's normally like, oh, well, you know, I fucked that up. Or I didn't judge my stamina properly. I should have stopped on that ledge to recover instead of keeping on going because then I fell and died. But no, it's cool. I'm digging it so far. Hasn't quite hooked me, but I think I've got about 15 shrines now. It's just it's missing that Zelda hook for me, the old school Zelda hook.
That's one thing
just
that's missing.
Just the something, whether that being, you know, the big sprawling dungeons that the originals used to have. You know, they've been replaced by a lot of shrines instead, it seems so far.
But the shrines are really short sort of.
Yeah, they're really, whereas the dungeons, you would go in and you would be in there for 2, 3, 4 hours without a save point, and it really kind of brought you in and had this kind of weight behind it. But that might come later. I'm not sure. What about you? What
are
you
speaking of Zelda likes, I have been playing Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles.
There you go.
So made by three dudes in Brisbane. It's called by a team called Prideful Sloth. It's this sort of Harvest Moon-y Zelda, the little sprinkle of Minecraft in there. This game couldn't be any more Betson is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I'm fucking loving it.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Is it as farm sim as you would like?
No. So that's the one, like, so there's a lot of Zelda-ish things, especially a lot of Breath of the Wild influences. An example is when you sort of, you're a captain on a boat, the Cloud Catcher, And you get caught in a storm, you crash on an island, and then you, it's all about you rebuilding your ship and sort of helping out this little island, continent called Goemia, G-O-E-M-E-A, I think. Something along those lines. We could search our computer, but yeah. So you do a lot of little tasks. So it's there's no combat.
Yeah.
Not a single drop of combat, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So it makes it really this sort of zen experience. Mm-hmm. So as you're helping out these little towns, and you do like you're doing a lot of fetch quests. Majority of this game is fetch quests, which is fine if you like fetch quests. And I don't mind them. But I thought there would be more of that farmness. That's what I wanted.
Well, when we watched the trailer about 2 weeks ago, when the trailer just started, and I kind of walked in when you just hit play, I did think we were watching a Breath of the Wild clip, which is a testament to the talent of these three guys from Prideful Sloth that, you know, at a glance, I'm like, oh, Breath of the Wild,
It instantly has that vibe to it. So once you crash the ship and you walk out of the cave, it does that big sweeping shot that you get from the start of Breath of the Wild, and it sort of shows you the grand scape of this land. Now, and it... Yeah, what I wanted out of it is I wanted an open experience that I can chill and sort of listen to podcasts, listen to music, and just twiddle away. That's exactly what I got out of it. When I reached out and said, hey, I would love to spend some time with this, we had it about a week before it came out, week and a half maybe.
Yeah.
And I spent the better part of that week just plodding along at it, coming in, doing little cool things. I wish I had more farming things, but that's just me personally.
Yeah.
But
hey, if a game holds your attention for a week, that's a big plus.
For me, that's a big thing, right? Well Places is giving about a sort of a 7-ish out of 10. I'd probably sit it around there as well, about, you know, 7.5, 8. It's incredible looking at it, knowing it's been made by three dudes.
Yeah.
Like, if the game is very simple, you can tell that it is an independent game. Simply because, you know, with all majority of the mission structures being... being very fetch quest, and it's all about, so there is this this sort of bad energy that's infected the island. So while you're there, and that's obviously what caused your crash as well. So while you're there, you're going around and you're doing errands for people, you're helping clear the land of this, I think it's called the murk. I don't know, I haven't played in a couple of days. So it's these big purple fart clouds.
Yeah,
okay. Just sort of around it. And then you have to find these little sprites throughout the world. If you have X amount of sprites, you can clear out X amount of fart clouds.
Okay.
Yeah, and that builds and helps you expand the world. Now, granted, there is no direct mission structure. Like, there's a single player story-ish, but it's not like a very linear campaign. So I can just piss fart around. So what I did is I couldn't find... One of the first sprites you find is like on along the way. The second sprite you sort of find if you just continue across the quest. I didn't. I fucking started wandering around. So I spent more time piss farting around. I'm like, where are these other sprites I'm trying to find? Because I keep finding all these fart clouds. I'm like, I know that's not what they are. But I keep finding these fart clouds. I don't know how to clear them because it says I need more sprites. I'm like, what the fuck is it doing? So I message our friend Charlie at Loadscreen, who he had, because he got the PC port. I was playing on a PlayStation port, the PC version. So he had a couple of days extra on me because those codes came through earlier. And he's like, I can't find it either. So we were both sort of talking about and backtracking, like, okay, where do we think it is? And then about 3 minutes after the conversation, I went, yeah, I found it. I'm like, okay. When you start, you go here, then it tells you to go here. So maybe it's here somewhere. Oh, there it is.
reading helps.
Yeah, so they're not reading, just thinking. Just like applying that logic of the step. And then once I followed that logic, and then it takes me to the next thing, and then I end up finding a couple along the way.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm starting to clear out the fart clouds.
Cool.
In no way have I finished it. I'm going to probably spend a bit more time with it. I wish it was on Vita.
Of course.
Because it is the perfect game for me just to chill and just dick around on.
That's what remote play is for.
I think I might have to put it through the remote play.
Depending on if you need the triggers.
You might, but not a lot, because there's no combat. You don't have that. You need that quick precision, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I wish. Yeah, my only biggest complaint is I wish it had more farming.
Yeah, but they never really pitched it as that either.
No, so. But like when I saw it sold as Zelda meets Harvest Moon, I'm like,
yeah.
But yeah, all the, like, you know, the little thing, it couldn't be any more me.
So if you enjoy Breath of the Wild but suck at the combat like I do, maybe consider Yonder, the Cloudcatcher Chronicles.
And you like farming, but not a lot. Yonder is great. Like I said, I'm really grateful for the PR guys for sending that code through us. It took a while. We got confirmation. Then it took about a week and a half to get to us from confirmation. Because every a couple of days, you email back saying, hey, don't worry, it's on its way. We're just, don't know what's going on. I'm like, all right, cool, man. It's cool. And then, like, excellent communication with the PR guys.
Really
enjoyed it.
Good PR team helps so much.
Oh, man, helps so much. Yeah. So credit to them. I believe it's Stride PR.
And I understand that you played the Destiny 2 beta, but we're going to save that.
Yes.
Conversation for a little later.
Come back a little bit later.
After the news, because we're...
What's that? Have I been playing anything else?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, it's been a pretty quiet week.
Mm, good. We need quiet weeks every now and then. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Getting ready for that September bunch, punch in the fucking face of games.
There's only one game I want, so... Yeah.
No, come October. Like, September's going to warm us up, then October's going to beat the shit out of us.
Even then, nothing springs to mind. What is there?
Okay, so in October, we get Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Mario.
Yeah.
South Park.
Yeah.
Shadows of War. And there's like two other ones, because there's three that come out on like the 17th of October, and there's three that come out on the 27th. There's like 2 days in October that are just like three big hitters come out at the same time.
See, out of all those you just listed, the only one I'm mildly interested in is South Park, and even then it's not like I'm not frothing at the mouth like you have been for the last 2 years.
Oh yeah.
But like Assassin's Creed, I can take it or leave it. Shadows of War, I played, tried Shadows of Mordor, didn't like it, so yeah. I'm not going to bother with Shadows of War.
Well, see, for us though, obviously we're going to, you know, do the best we can to try and get those games to cover, and yeah. that's probably the biggest interest I'm out of them. Like, out of that, there's probably no outside of South Park, maybe Wolfenstein.
Mm.
I'm not like, yeah, there's nothing I'm really, you know, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
You know,
Mario. It will be interesting to see what UB have done with Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
in their 1 year hiatus.
I'm more curious about.
Yeah. What else are you curious about?
The news.
As we...
Sorry, I got something in my throat. As we inform the players about the PlayStation-related news of this week.
That segue could have been a little better.
Yeah, because I almost choked halfway through it.
We have 10 bits of news this week.
Holy shit.
It's a big week. A couple of them are little small things. Little tidbits to satiate your
time. A couple
appetite.
Of them we sort of wrapped together, I think.
Yeah. Number one, the previously unreleased Stormy Ascent level from the first Crash game is now available as free DLC for Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy. According to the PlayStation blog, the extra level will be free via the PlayStation Store through until August 19th. So you have limited time to get it for free, so please do. Stormy Ascent was designed by Naughty Dog, but ultimately cut from the original Crash Bandicoot because of its extremely high difficulty, which is how hard it is now. Previously, players could only access a hidden level on the original PS1 Crash disc by using a Game Shark. I'll skip that last paragraph. It just tells you about that.
Yeah, so I did download it. I haven't jumped in on it yet, but I have looked a little bit into this. So it's sort of the side scroll in the sort of the same vein as the
Slippery
Native
Climb.
What's it called?
Slippery Climb.
I'm going to say the Native Forest, but the castle one. Mm. Yeah, so it's rainy. It looks really cool.
Mm.
To add with the difficulty of the platforming, there's these big fuck off spiky things that hang out of the wall.
Yeah.
So like what would normally be just trump, like that makes you have to jump that little bit further.
Yeah. The only clip I've watched on it was the bonus level, and it looked fucking insane.
The bonus level's stupid.
It looks so insane.
Like, you gotta like jump on a TNT, head back, and then dodge like.
You gotta jump on
bouncing.
A TNT, jump across, hit the exclamation mark, jump back on the TNT, and then jump to where the box the exclamation mark will make pop up before the TNT blows up.
There you go. Yeah, it's timing.
It seems insane.
This level's all about timing, and it looks nuts.
And the devs also did. I didn't write this down, but they did put out. They did do an interview or something where they did say, yes, the game is harder than it was.
They did on IGN. Yeah. They talked about how it, all the sort of the things that they've brought over with the remaster in terms of how they've tweaked the jumping a little bit and all that sort of stuff. Now, speaking of, they did release, Vicarious Visions did release a press release last couple of days ago, I think maybe Wednesday, talking about the, you know, they're like, holy shit, you guys did really, you know, we didn't expect it to be this popular. We didn't expect it to be popular, but not this popular. And like, here's some information about some of the things that we tweaked. And they put it straight out, like, this is why we did it.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, granted, it, you know, we found that, you know, three had the best jumping.
Yeah.
You know, one was really janky, so we kind of tried to tweak it in the middle. Each one is different, but they all have the same base of three rather than the base of one and building on it.
Well, that doesn't matter because the game is still clearly doable, as I send out a big congratulations to Joel Grelton for getting the platinum.
The triple
for
plat.
All, the triple plat for all three games. Congratulations, Joel. That's fucking awesome.
The old triplat.
I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the Stormy Ascent. Because surely you'd think someone with the triple plat would be like the A-plus Crash player.
Yeah, Joel's like...
I'd love to see if he could maybe stream some gameplay for that on the PlayStation or something. Yeah. Just so we can watch. That'd be cool. News number 2 and 3 are both Telltale related, so I'll just run them together. Telltale has announced a second season of The Wolf Among Us coming in 2018. A brief teaser shown by Telltale today.
Wait, isn't that coming out like in August?
Coming in 2018. According to...
Either The Wolf... Okay, we'll
I think Guardians is coming in August. Right, they've got fucking heaps going on at the moment. A brief teaser shown by Telltale confirmed that voice actors Aaron Yvette and Adam Harrington will return as Snow and Bigby and referred to Season 2 as a new story, a new mystery, and an all-new set of stakes. Telltale originally announced a series based on the Fable comics way back in 2011 and renamed it The Wolf Among Us a couple years later. The series debuted in 2013 and ran through 2014 and was eventually ported to mobile and current-gen platforms. Telltale has also announced a fourth final season of its Walking Dead series coming 2018. A brief behind-the-scenes video released confirmed that Season 4 will once again star Clementine and called it the final season of the series. Voice actor Melissa Hutchinson will return to reprise her role of Clementine.
The one I'm thinking of, they did also announce this week Season 2 of Batman.
That's right.
Batman the Evil Within, and yes. That Episode 1 launches in August.
Yep. So... The Wolf Among Us, it's always on the top of my buy list because during the last PlayStation sale, it went down to like $8 or something and I picked up something else instead, but I was close, really close because the Fables universe does interest me.
I love the Fables.
It just seems really hard to get into for at this point, and I think The Wolf Among Us might be a good kind of just get a sample of that world.
Fables is one of the books, the comics that my wife loves.
Yeah.
I go for one. I was like, this would be interesting. Should I read? She's like, yeah, this is it. And we have about most of the series now.
Aren't they over like 200 issues or something?
Yeah, something crazy. Something crazy.
Yeah.
But it's always been on my thing because it took me a while to realize that it was a Fables thing. Because when that game originally came out, I didn't give a shit about Telltale games.
Mm.
So I was like, Wolf Among Us, I don't know what that is. And then someone's like, it's Fables. I'm like,
I'm surprised that Millie hasn't made you get it yet.
The Wolf Among Us, because I thought it was just like some spin-offy thing. I didn't think that it was going to be Bigby. But
as for The Walking Dead, I'm glad to hear that they are starting to wrap it up. I finished
after 4 seasons.
I played season 1 when it came out. I played season 2 probably 2 months ago. Season 3, I'm waiting for the whole season drop before I pick that up. It tends to be what I do. I'll just wait for the whole season and pick it up. I've heard mixed about season 3.
Yeah, because with this, apparently the focus shifts away from Clementine.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of people sort of didn't really dig about it. Was
because The Walking Dead has become, well, at least to the end of season 2, it's a Clementine story.
Mm.
That's what it is. And yeah, they've shifted away a bit, but it seems to be they've confirmed that season 4 will just be the conclusion of her story.
Which is kind of cool. So obviously, the events that's, you know, they're not going to retcon this season, I imagine. It's sort of like, no, we'll bring it all back together and it, you know. And this is the story of Clem.
Yeah.
Referred to as.
I'm excited. I'm cool. Number 4. I'm excited for this. This is fucking cool. Have you seen this?
No.
No, you haven't seen? Nope. Okay. The cast of Call of...
I don't want to spoil it. I'm looking at this camera.
The cast of Call of Duty World War II Zombies mode has been revealed. Developer Sledgehammer...
Previously in the past, they've had really good... They've had Jeff Goldblum. They've had Ron Perlman.
Oh, it doesn't... Yeah.
They've had some really good names previously.
Developer Sledgehammer Games announced the news via Twitter ahead of the mode's reveal at San Diego Comic-Con 2017. The full cast is as follows. David Tennant as Drosten Hynde, Catherine Winnick, Lagatha from Vikings as Marie Fisher, Elodie Young, Elektra from Daredevil as Olivia Durant, and Udo Kier, Dragonetti from Blade as Dr. Peter Straub.
Not all big punches.
David Tennant,
that's a good list of people.
Catherine Winnick, fuck yeah. You haven't watched Vikings,
no.
Have you? She's Vikings' wife. But
the Viking.
She's Ragnar's wife. Ragnar being the main character.
Great name, by the way.
And she's such in the show. She's a very powerful woman. You know, she does all this stuff. You know, because The thing with Vikings is they... I don't know why we're talking about Vikings. But the thing with the Vikings is the women were equals. They weren't they weren't the farmers and the cookers and all that kind of shit. They were shield maidens and they were, you know, side to side in battle and raiding and all of that stuff too. And her character is fantastic.
Also the raping and pillaging.
And yeah.
Yeah.
She's raping all the Christians in that show. That's what happened. Yeah, Elektra from Daredevil, Elodie Young.
She was fine.
She was fine. Yeah. She was good. And Udo Kier, Dragon Eddie... in Blade, and he was also in Armageddon, I believe, as well. You know his face when you see it.
Yeah, I imagine I would. Yeah, yeah. So, granted, it's not Heather Graham, Ron Perlman, you know, and like Jeff Goldblum, because they were all in the one, like in the one thing. It was nuts, nuts cast, but still pretty damn good.
Very good.
Does it kind of pique your interest in Call of Duty World War II?
Just for the zombies.
Yeah.
Because I was at Guff earlier this morning of recording with my son. I'm playing some games. I'm playing Roblox. Roblox has...
Yeah, you've told me about Roblox. It's like Minecraft.
Roblox has a mini game of Nazi zombies. We're playing that this morning. Fucking loved it. Got to like round 20 or something. Nice. More than I've ever been on PS3 and PS4. Just as hard. I don't get it.
We should sit down and give the zombies a bash one day.
Yeah. We'll call of Duty zombies.
Yeah.
World War II zombies we should do.
Yeah, all right.
Stream. Number five... Undertale will be released digitally for PS4 and Vita on August 15th. According to the PlayStation blog, the game is now available for pre-order on PSN and will support cross-buy between the two platforms. Those who pre-order the $15 USD version of Undertale will receive a dynamic theme designed by Truant Pixel and Merigo. Additionally, some pre-orders are now open for the physical, standard edition, and collector's edition of the game for PS4, Vita, and PC. These physical versions will ship sometime in December. So much buzz behind this game, man.
Yeah, I've heard some good things.
I'm
going to sound really sick of all of a sudden, because you know that I've got like the weird... For those who don't know, I have this weird fucked up thing with my nose, and there's this like steroid spray that keeps it under control and doesn't block it. So, you know, because it's like actually a blocked nose. It's these little nodule things in my nose that get overstimulated.
That sounds gross.
And it blocks my nose. Like it's essentially like hay fever, but ramped up. So random things just trigger it in my nose and go, and like
sounds gross.
So the nose is blocked, but by the nose, not like mucus or anything. So right, like I've run out of spray. It's the worst right now. So like my nose is getting all shit.
Well, as for Undertale,
so you know that's why I sound like a weird. I have heard nothing but good things.
Some
about
characters
Undertale.
Have shitty noses in Undertale.
Probably
it's a kind of game where you can get through the entire thing. You can have, I think it's called a mercy playthrough where you don't kill anything or the. It's a political kind of game. You can kill everything. You can not kill everything. I've watched approximately 3 full playthroughs of it from different YouTubers because my son really liked it, and he's watched Jacksepticeye play it. He's watched Dan TDM play it, and someone else. I fucking lose track.
Some other YouTuber.
So I don't even need to buy it because I know the gist of it anyway. But you know, it's gonna be $15. I'll probably pick it up.
Especially if your son sees it enough times, he's probably interested.
Yeah, yeah. He'll definitely massacre everything on the way.
Yeah.
There won't be any mercy playthrough there. Not at all. Number 6 or 7, I don't know. Aaron Flynn,
next bit of news.
The general manager of Mass Effect and Dragon Age developer BioWare has announced he is stepping down after 17 years with the company. Casey Hudson, the project director of the original Mass Effect, will be returning to lead the studio as the new GM. Flynn and Hudson made their individual announcements in separate posts on BioWare's official website. Flynn has been with the company for 17 years. In a quote, "From my first day until now, I have learned much, met great colleagues and friends, and got the chance to help give players some truly incredible experiences. Every time I think I've found a favorite game making experience, we start something new and somehow find fun and satisfaction in the new challenges," Flynn wrote. Flynn explained in his post that he has been considering making changes to his life for a while, and Hudson's willingness to return offered him the opportunity to do just that. He'll be working with Flynn to assist him in the transition.
See, this is where it's curious. It's convenient and curious. So having Casey come back is good because, you know, he helped with the original Mass Effect. So, and now he's helping with Anthem. So I think it's a sort of a show of faith in terms of like, hey, he's come back. He's like, Anthem's going the right way. Mm. Because there is negative press and a sour taste in people's mouths from Andromeda.
Yeah.
Even though I hear it's fine, and you can now play like a 10-hour demo of it for free. It's fucking rad. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't think Flynn got the boot because of Andromeda.
No.
Like, I don't think, like, he did release a statement that sounded very, like, I heard the statement on Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Yep.
That's where I heard it. And they sort of talked about it as well, how it doesn't seem very negative in his statement. Like, you know, normally there's a statement like, yeah, we had creative differences, which is a nice way of saying we fucking argued and I got kicked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't read that way. It read kind of like, hey, he was keen to come back. I was keen to leave. It just worked.
17 years is a long goddamn time.
Hell yeah.
Such a long time. And, you know, it'll just be interesting to see if Casey Hudson, you know, I don't know what Casey has been doing for the last 17 years, but still has that spark that he would have had around the first time of Mass Effect.
Well, both
as well.
These guys, when they second they left university, they went straight to work at BioWare.
Yeah.
So, sorry, it's so gross. Having you know, one of them, whoever the one that's coming, who's the one that's leaving?
Flynn. Aaron Flynn.
Yeah, so Aaron, like, with Flynn heading out, like, I think it's him, his time to. Is it him? I should say him.
Yeah,
it's him to go try something. It's Aaron.
Aaron Flynn.
When I was into the kind of funny, because they American. It sounded like Aaron.
Oh.
I'm like, Aaron Flynn.
No, but I do remember
I think it's his time to go off and...
I do remember reading a while ago that Aaron Flynn was considering... Like, it wasn't a secret that he's kind of had enough at this point. He wants to move on and do something else with his family and everything like that. So, all the best.
And anytime someone says, I want to go spend time with my family, I might be a fuck yeah, man.
Totally
I get it.
Totally get it. Yeah. Next bit of news. The couple of months of Nintendo Switch topping the US sales chart seem to be over. For the second straight month, the PS4 leads hardware sales among consoles. The news comes by the way of a US report from the NPD Group. According to the report, PS4 sales were driven by the release of the gold PS4 Slim console with a 1 TB hard drive. As usual, we didn't get sales numbers. However, in spite of not selling the most out of the consoles, the Switch still has sold a substantial amount this year. Hardware sales were strong in June 2017 compared with June 2016, up by 27%. Year-to-date sales are up 19% over last year, totaling $1.4 billion. Woo! The increase in sales is due primarily to the release of the Switch earlier this year.
Everyone gave the Switch shit for releasing in March.
Yeah.
Did fine.
Yeah, it did just fine.
Still yeah, but like, so it was weird when they announced the gold and silver PS4, but it's working.
We got the Destiny one coming.
Yeah, the Glacier White Pro.
And Xbox last week is nowhere to be seen.
Xbox, where are you at?
What you got? What you got for us?
Huh? Bring
Xbox One XXXX. PS Plus members can... Next bit of news. PS Plus members can enjoy yet another perk this month. In addition to July's lineup of free games, Plus subscribers can get a bonus freebie when they downloaded the newly released Orcs Must Die Unchained on PS4. PS Plus subscribers who download the free-to-play tower defense game will be able to download an extra DLC pack for free. The pack is worth $20.
Sweet!
So if you did pick up Orcs Unchained... Orcs Must Die Unchained, you can get $20 worth of DLC for free until the end of July. So by the time this goes up, you'll have about 5 days left. So get on it. Get on it. Next bit of news, Uncharted The Lost Legacy has gone gold! Developer Naughty Dog has announced. This means development is complete and the game is ready for mass production.
It is.
The action-adventure game follows Chloe Fraser and Nadine Ross, who in order to find an ancient Indian artifact must venture deep into the Western Ghats Mountains, discover the lost cities of the Hoysala Empire, and face a ruthless warmonger named Asav. Uncharted The Lost Legacy is due out for PS4 on August 22nd in North America, 23rd in Europe.
Now, we have confirmation from the PlayStation reps that we will be having a copy of The Lost Legacy.
Nice.
And I'll do my very best to stream what we're allowed to.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some kind of restrictions with that.
Mm.
Next bit of news, I've got the whole like web article up because I only just found out, so I'll just kind of skim through it. Sony will run a beta test for its next major update to the PS4 operating system, the company announced today, the day of recording. The beta for PS4 system software 5.0 will begin in, quote, early August, Sony said. The company also let users do the same thing back in March with 4.5 firmware. Sony haven't announced what exactly they're doing at the moment. So please, before signing up and doing this, please back up your system. There's been so many horror stories.
Yeah, I have heard of bricked PlayStation. Yeah. Like, because by signing up the beta, I'm sure you're...
There's a disclaimer. You got to click I agree.
Heads up. You could fuck your PlayStation with this. Yeah. Just so you know.
You might lose everything. So yeah. But be interested to see what they do.
You got PS Plus, use that iCloud backup.
Yeah.
Them saves on up there.
What do we want?
Yeah, that's a question.
It is?
We'll come back to that.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Come back to that.
All right, next and final bit of news. Top-selling games for the week ending the 16th of July.
Not made up this week.
Not made up
this week. So it turns out last week we were kind of right, kind of wrong. Crash Bandicoot came out top.
Yeah.
AFL Evolution, no to be seen.
Shame. Damn shame. Damn shame.
Rigged, I tell you.
Number 10, Ghost Recon Wildlands, followed by Horizon, Rainbow Six Siege, GTA 5, COD Infinite Warfare, COD Black Ops 3, Uncharted 4, Prey, Final Fantasy 12, The Zodiac Age, and Crash the Insane Trilogy at number one. What,
2 weeks in a row?
Since release, it's been number one.
Yeah, dude, that's nuts for Zodiac Age.
Yeah, it's sweet. Getting good raps.
Getting some good buzz.
Yeah.
You're a big DFF man. Would you consider it?
No.
Not even a little bit?
I'm just so burnt out on the franchise.
Ouch.
Well, I got 13, fucking hated it like everyone else.
Yeah.
Got 15, I liked it except the combat because it's, you know, live, real time combat and not the turn based that I love. And I've kind of had enough of the franchise. I've got all my nostalgic memories of the other ones, which are still fun to play to this day, graphics aside. So I'm just going to... I think I'm done with the series at this point.
Ouch.
Until they make a return to turn-based combat.
Because you are like the big FF fan. When anyone talks to me about FF, like I did an episode of Platinum Explosion. We talked about
soundtracks. Yeah.
And they pulled out all these Final Fantasy ones. I'm like,
yeah,
really should have brought Josh in on this.
No, I mean, from the PS2 back, you know, PS2 to PS1 to Super Nintendo, like all those Final Fantasies. But from PS3 and up, they've lost me.
There's only one Final Fantasy game that is great. It's not even a Final Fantasy game. It was a SNES Final Fantasy.
It's
technically in the... It's not a Final Fantasy game in name.
Is. Not in name, but it is made by Square.
Squaresoft?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Mystic Quest Legend.
Boom, that game fucking rocks.
It is a Final Fantasy game. It's just an unlabeled Final Fantasy game.
Love that game. Love the shit out of that game.
Oh, yeah. You played it at my place.
Sure did. And it was like...
The music got you?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Memories.
Yeah. Tristan, I think, is your first follower. Tristan? Mm. Tristan. Mm. It's kind of bad, though.
It's bad, but good. Like, it's one of the first RPGs I really sunk my teeth into.
It was the first turn-based RPG I ever played. Yeah. That's it for the news.
Oh, that's all that news. This is where we head into the main brunt of the show. And this week, it's pretty straightforward. Thanks to our lovely friends at Activision, we were able to spend some time in the closed beta of Destiny 2.
Yeah.
The beta at time of recording is open. I think it might, because when it's coming out on Monday, it's likely that it's wrapped up.
I think it's, tomorrow. As in the day of recording. It's
essentially Saturday, Sunday. So I think it might close up this evening on Monday.
Yeah.
Let's
just talk about it.
Talk about first impressions. Now, you've played about 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Before we came in here. I did the story mission at the start.
Yeah.
I did the strike. I've done the strike 3 times now.
Yeah. We will keep story content as spoiler-free as possible.
To the same time, what the story part is, it's basic setup.
Oh, of course it is.
It's everything you've seen in the trailer.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But anything that's kind of made you go, oh shit, I don't want to know. Like, oh shit, I did not see that coming.
Oh, okay,
I don't
want to know. There were moments where I'm like, that is really cool. Just a cool twist. It's pretty much a given what they're going to do. I'll tell you, but it won't break your heart.
Yeah, I might already know anyway.
Might or not.
It doesn't matter how, because I've tried to go on just blackout on the game. This is what I've done for most of this year. Is I see a trailer, I'm like, that looks fucking sick, I'll get it. And that's it. I don't actively seek anymore, but still just through Reddit and whatever else, stuff still kind of trickles in anyway. It's unavoidable.
So with the single player, first off, let's get these things out of the way. It still plays great.
Mm.
The gunplay is still tight, solid. It's awesome. I find it's a bit heavier, which I like personally, because I could find it's a little bit, I was not floaty, but it was like not, an example is...
You had no weight behind you.
Yeah, I didn't really like how the sparrows flew in the game. I felt they were like, like they just never, they weren't like anchored. But granted, in this,
they're floating.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, like, as in like, I felt it was too floaty, like it wasn't like, a bit of, you just, you know. It didn't feel right to me.
Yep.
Now, granted, there's no Sparrow in this. I'm just sort of getting that pointed that it didn't feel
right. More like Killzone than Call of Duty.
Yeah, not as heavy as Killzone.
Killzone was so heavy. And so is Gears of War as
It plays great. It plays fantastic.
Yeah, well, like I sat down to do a strike just before we started to record, and it looks like Destiny.
Yeah.
It plays like Destiny. Almost, actually, I'll save that point till after we've gone.
Yeah, so there are some things, is it? It looks like Destiny, it plays like Destiny. So if you love Destiny 1, you're going to enjoy the fuck out of Destiny 2.
Yeah.
There are some things there which I guess because they're iconic-y things for Destiny, it makes sense.
Mm.
An example is the same cursor style menu is there. Cool.
Menu is fucking shit.
Didn't like it in the first place.
Yeah.
Still there. All right, I guess that's Destiny.
Well, then, yeah, I'll bring up what I was about to say anyway then. It seems so much like Destiny that it doesn't... So far, the 10 minutes I've played, it doesn't feel like the big new installment of the franchise.
Yeah, see, this is where I think if you played the story, you would feel the difference.
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
From what I'm seeing, I'm sure there's a lot of under the hood tweaks in terms of gameplay.
Yeah.
For me, a lot of the difference came in how it looked. One of the first things, if you want to get into the more nitty and gritty, one of the best videos online right now is one from Digital Foundry, and they break it down, as they do, because these guys are the nerds of
frame by frame, frame rates,
frame, everything you need to know. Digital Foundry, not a plug. But I love their channel. The channel's fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cool things. There's new volumetric lighting. So rather than just sort of like a light, it'll move, and as it hits objects, kind of like the God rays when they were in Skyrim. That's probably the best example for you.
Yeah.
It's running at a checkerboarded 2160. So it looks smooth as shit. I'm pretty sure there's HDR because it kind of has some HDR-ish effects. I haven't turned it off to have a look.
Yeah.
There's this really cool shot. It's fucking pissing down rain.
Mm.
And you go from outside to inside and you can see the lights as they hit the raindrops.
Yep.
It's really, really cool particle effects.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember seeing in the first. So for me, I'm like, oh, that's instant adding depth. I'm
trying to remember if it even fucking rained in the first.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know. It's been a while.
But it's in that weather effect is rad. So when you walk out and you look up and there's a beam of light and it's hitting the raindrops in such a stunning way, I'm like, oh man, that's a visual increase.
Okay, well, here's a question I'll pose to you.
Yes.
Let's just say medium to slash maybe high graphical improvements worth calling a game a sequel. Because from what I've seen, like I said, I only played a strike. Okay, I haven't seen any story. I haven't seen a hub. I haven't been outside. This is just...
Yeah.
This is our first impressions. This is what I've seen.
Yeah.
It plays exactly like Destiny 1, which is fine because Destiny 1 played fucking fantastic. The tightest shooter on the market. Plays the same. HUD's the same. UI is the same. Menus are the same. So far, scenery is the same. I mean, if you just gave me the controller and said, hey, play Destiny, I wouldn't look at it and go, that's Destiny 2, because the scenery I saw, it could have been from anywhere in Destiny 1 as well. So to me, from what I've seen, it looks prettier and maybe controls a little better, but is that worthy of being called a sequel instead of an expansion?
This is my question. This is something that I'm sort of curious about with where Destiny stands right now, because as it's common knowledge at this point, Activision and Bungie have that 10-year... plan, right?
Yeah.
They've got a ton of money in 10 years. You have to release X amount of things in that time frame.
Yeah.
So my question is, because they've been having to work on DLC this whole time, I'm really curious on what the overall changes are coming from Destiny 1, Destiny 2. Now, granted, when I say Destiny 1, I mean Destiny 1 including House of Wolves, Glass,
Rise of Iron,
Taken King. That is Destiny 1.
Yep.
Not the original base to the next base. That is all Destiny 1.
Well, yeah, because a few months ago when all this Destiny 2 news info came out, news info, same thing, I went and bought the Taken King edition because it was like $30 at EB Games. It was ridiculously cheap.
Can we play it, please?
And I got through the original part of Destiny because I stopped playing before any expansions came out. Had fun, got to the end of that story. I was like, okay, I've had enough. But then once I hit the Taken King side of things, I went, holy fuck, this feels like a new game.
Yeah.
Just the scenery, And it was everything the same, but from what I was seeing and the way the story, they obviously focused a lot more on the giving it a proper story.
Well, that is the biggest thing you're going to get out of if you play that story part of the beta.
Yeah.
Is that there is a grander sense of story. Like when you even when you just kick it off, it kicks off well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Destiny 1, it's like, wake up, go, I didn't know, go fucking wander around.
Yeah.
Like this has a bit of a more punchy intro. Yeah.
Is it the intro we saw from the trailer, essentially?
And mostly. Like,
what's his name, Gaul?
I don't know, I call him White Vader.
I think it's Gaul, G-H-A-U-L.
I have more fun naming them what I see them as. Yeah, so it's Darth Vader in a white suit with a slight...
Yeah, I mean, he comes, he kicks the shit out of you, he blocks out the Traveler so you're not getting the light anymore. That's
the final shot of the demo, of the beta. Right, so the final. So you essentially, this is not really spoilers, so you kind of make your way through the Traveler.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hub world and, you know, for those, it's the hub world from Destiny 1. So, as you saw, there's a really cool moment where you're fighting your way up and you come up and you turn the corner and then you turn the corner. It's that foyer part of the Traveler. You know, when you go back to the Traveler and you land and you look out, there's the world. There's the...
Yeah.
The tower. Sorry, not the Traveler. So you're on the tower and you're looking at the Traveler.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and then you go downstairs and you get your ships and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So as you turn a corner and you come up to the top of that tower, you look over and shit is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, it's on fire. It's destroyed.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the moment I went, oh, shit.
I guess I'm kind of making the comparison to, let's say, for example, Blizzard with World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
They release expansions every 2 years, maybe. This game's been going for fucking 14-ish years now. And, you know, I guess they're just expansions because they realize it's going to look the same, it's going to play the same, we're just giving you some more areas. So we're not calling it World of Warcraft 2, it's just, here's the new expansion. Look, I don't know.
This could be maybe some of the agreement with Activision. But
I want to hear from people that are, like, balls deep in Destiny. I want to know... If you've played the beta for Destiny 2, does it seem like it's worthy of being called a sequel, or could they have just maybe done it as an expansion?
Yeah.
A big, like, not all in one expansion, you know, just keep dribbling content. But I guess I do want to, with these new consoles out, they do want to be taking advantage of that power.
Yeah, because it, you know, you want to. Like, because technically Destiny, you know, was... An
PS3
old
PS3. Xbox 360.
So for them,
yeah.
It's like we've tweaked what the engine, I guess not the engine, you know, we've tweaked what we're doing.
This is as good as we can make it look right now.
Yeah, on next-gen consoles. Yeah.
Is Destiny 2, it's not coming to those last-gen, is it?
Right. Of course not.
Yeah,
no.
That's good.
Maybe long gone now. Because Rise of Iron and Taken King didn't come to PS3 or 360.
I think I need to play the beta story to form a more... I guess cohesive opinion.
I would love
opinion,
to do it. If you didn't have to rush off after we're done recording, yeah. I would like to sit down with you and get your thoughts.
But I do kind of want to. It's a hard thing with what we do.
Yeah.
Is we like, or me anyway, I like to go in as clean as I can.
Yeah.
But then we also need to be reporting and talking about things as well.
I don't think you'll be at a loss by playing it.
Yeah.
As in,
I'm not about to go pre-order it just to play it anyway.
Me, like, it's open beta right now, so you could do it. You could literally download it and then play it. So, like, probably tomorrow. Download
15 gig.
You're welcome to come play it whenever.
On fucking DSL.
I think you'll, if not, just watch the stream I did.
I did jump in. I jumped in and out.
Yeah.
But when it hit cutscenes and stuff, I hopped out. I was watching your gun play for a little while.
Yeah.
I'm a silent watcher on the streams.
You'd be a lurker.
I'm normally there. More often than not, I'm there and I'm watching. Just making sure everything's cool. Just, you know, the chat's being friendly to each other. And
make you mod.
Even though I'm not a mod anyway.
You have to be like, hey, Jess.
But I watch on my phone anyway, so I don't know what kind of mod controls you have there.
Yeah.
Look, I'm getting it day one anyway.
I'm enjoying it, and it's funny because I played Destiny originally and I lost interest really quick because I got it a little bit late. I think it came out in like October and I got it in the December.
Mm. All
my friends were way ahead of me. No one was willing to play it with me. Yeah. And I was like, which is the problem now. Cause like you were like right up in Destiny's butthole. And I'm like, dude, I'll pick it up. And then I found it for 20 bucks.
You picked it up in like 6 weeks after I got it.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I'm bored of it. I'm like, fuck you.
You took same as when you first bought it. You took too long to get on board.
6 weeks is nothing.
That's a long time.
No, because
in this industry.
Yeah, coming from the man that's playing Persona again for like the 19th time, if you could.
Second.
Fucker.
It's a good game.
You know what I mean? It's just like, come play Destiny with me. Like, get us all both hyped. Because I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And then Destiny 2, seeing that additional story that we've got so far, seeing how it does like a visual upgrade at least, which is kind of nice. Mm. It runs tight as shit. Like, yeah. The stream had some frame rate drops, but that was the computer's fault. That was nothing to do with the game itself. Yeah. The game runs smooth as crap.
See, I am planning on... I want to go balls deep in Destiny 2. I want to be doing the, because I never did any of the raids either. I want to be doing the raids, but what put me off it is I couldn't do them with friends, right? So I will. Me or Ryan or Joel, we will be making a PopC Destiny 2 community.
It will be a fire team. Clan? It will be us.
Clan, is that what they call them? Clan.
Fire teams. Yeah.
No, clan. Fire team is your party.
Oh, whatever.
I think it's called a clan. There will be a PopC clan for Destiny 2. So if you are in the community and you are thinking about it, you will have people to play with.
Yeah. But yeah, it makes me, knowing if we do happen to get it all at the same time, I'll be getting it on day one,
and I'll probably take a couple of days off as well.
That'd be the problem, because I'll have to go to work, and
yeah, because it's fresh, I wouldn't mind like jumping back to help you.
Yeah, yeah. Because I would like to see, because I want to get to at least a Taken King.
Yeah, it's only level 25.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I would like to skip to at least the Taken King. And sort of see this big change.
You can feel the big, about. You definitely.
And that's
feel
what I
want
to
change.
See. But right now, there's no urge for me to do it by myself. Just kind of,
yeah,
because you know that, like, I think at last, like, where I got up to, there was like, hey, you need three other people to play. That you need to be a team of three. I'm like, I don't play fucking randoms.
That's where I got to when I was playing through it as well. I got to the point where it's like I can only do strikes, but no one's fucking doing those old ones anymore.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do them, but it's okay. What do you think? Have you played the Destiny 2 beta? Let us know what you think about it. What are your impressions? What are you liking? What are you not liking? Let us know.
And be ready to come join us because the community is... Yeah.
Come and join us, be shit.
Yeah. Speaking of community...
We're not good gamers.
In this section, we get questions from the players asking about video gaming related things. Let's see here. First question comes from our buddy Tom. And Zach as well. What might / should be in the new update? It's just 5.0.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Name changes, please.
See, I still don't see that as a problem. Because, like, my name's Betson. Feel free to add
me,
by the way.
For the people that got a name they're happy with, it's totally a non-issue. But, you know, I hate mine. Because it's not representative of me anymore.
That's 15-year-old.
It's 15-year-old me who, you know, just had to make an account then and there to play. It's like, fucking, what's my favorite song? This is my favorite song. That's my favorite. That's my name now.
Yeah.
And now it sounds really fucking emo because it has cuts in it.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not.
You're like 15-year-old Josh was pretty emo, but.
Oh, yeah. I was in a fun goth metal band, too. I mean, it was fitting, but I was listening to it's a Muse song, though.
Yeah.
Which is
not a very emo band.
Emo at all, no.
Speaking
I don't
of,
know, what else can
we've
they...
got our angst show coming up for the Mullet Show soon.
Yeah, that'll be fun. What else can they do? Because every time this firmware update happens, it is, well, what can they do? And they normally pull out something and go, oh, of course.
Yeah, see, a lot of the things, it's just kind of things I forget that they don't have.
See, I loved when they added folders.
Yeah, folders
fucking
are awesome
loved when they. I just have three folders. Yeah. I have shit that I'm never ever going to fucking use, but I can't delete. So there's fucking heaps of shit.
I have one folder that's PSVR.
Oh, really?
I put all my VR
stuff.
It makes it nice things when anyone comes like, hey, here's VR, what do you want to play? I'm like, just look
here's
at the
all
folder.
The games. All the junk. Then I have game downloaded games, so games that don't need a disc. And then I have all games that do need a disc in another one.
Yeah.
So if, you know, Alex ever wants to play something, I mean, he's like, oh, because he used to be like, oh, does this one have a disc? I don't know. So now he knows.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a disc to play whatever the fuck game you want to play.
Yeah,
but
see,
I don't
like,
know.
See, for
I,
me,
I,
it's,
thought,
I, it's the same reason when someone's like, hey, pitch what you think this studio should do. I'm like, I don't know. That make them tell me. And it's the same thing. It's because I'm like, well, what do they think I want?
Yeah.
You know, because like previously, I completely forgot that they didn't have a media player because I don't use my PS4 like that. My PS3 I used like that. Mm. But like PS4, I didn't.
The same, I use my TV as my media player because my hard drive
yeah,
is always plugged
and
into the TV.
And now got the smart TV function, you know, with
and,
like most TVs.
Yeah,
so.
But also my TV can play a larger variation of file types than the PlayStation can as well.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything I've put onto my TV through the hard drive that it can't play. And more often than not on the PlayStation, like, no, it doesn't support this file type. So fuck it. I'm never using it. I find... party chat to be shit, but I don't know what I find shit about it. I think it's because I don't have a proper headset for it.
Yeah, if you if, like, I've last when we played. We were using the HyperX Cloud Singer.
Yeah.
That
it was great.
Sounds fucking fantastic. Yeah.
And I was just using the earbuds that came with my phone that have a mic on them.
Yeah.
So the mic's sitting. I don't know how well I come through or anything, but it
you came through right.
How did feels yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
You and Dylan on the HyperX sounded great.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's what you need to do. Maybe just say, this is what you need to do. Go pick up the Astra A10s.
Mm.
They're about the same price. Mm. And it'd just be cool to see you get the Astra versus the HyperX.
I have PayPal money.
Astra are fucking solid headphones.
Yeah.
So.
I have PayPal money. Because I've been selling those MTG cards.
Yeah.
So I have PayPal money sitting in the account, so maybe I will. I should.
Yeah.
Especially with Destiny 2 coming up as well.
Fuck a favor, EG. Got no time for you.
I don't.
The thing is, I want them to tell me what they think I want. Now, one thing, there's a lot of speculation on the internet that a lot of the upgrades in 5.0 come from a survey that went out a while ago.
Mm.
Now, my understanding, I don't remember seeing this survey, so it may have been a US thing, but one of the questions was about PlayStation Now. And do you use it?
Okay.
Which brings me to the next question.
I saw a picture today of someone trying to use PlayStation Now, and they're in a queue to play whatever playing. So now it's called PlayStation Later. Or PlayStation in a minute. PlayStation
in a bit.
PlayStation in a minute.
Yeah,
what they did do recently that I don't like is how they've made the TV section into its own little open thing. And more often than not, like, I turn the PlayStation on and I hit the button that takes me to Netflix and YouTube and all that, but it gets stuck on Please Wait. I've got to exit it and then bring it back up again.
Oh, that happens
to me.
Whereas
it was always just scroll to TV, YouTube, just push down twice and it's there. Now that it has to open in a separate thing, sometimes it freezes, it won't open.
That could be an old PS4 thing. With the Pro, there's never a problem. Like,
well, then they shouldn't have launched it if it doesn't work across the board.
Dude, the PS3 tries to use the same storefront as the PS4, and it's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a change I didn't like. I'd rather just be able to grab YouTube and just put it on my bar separately.
Zach asked the question, speaking of PlayStation Now, I was trying to do a segue and you fucking took it away.
Well, I had to get that out.
With PlayStation Now, if PlayStation Now was available in Australia, would you use it?
No. The internet's not good enough to stream the games.
Yeah, I said if it was more like Xbox Game Pass, which is you download it to
but
the
But it's
thing.
Not.
But it isn't. So the answer, I guess, is no. I would certainly
try. On the NBN, you
see,
might.
I've got on the internet that's good enough to do it, but I would certainly try it.
Here's the thing, though, is your internet's good enough to do it, but from what I've seen here so far, the PlayStation service isn't good enough to let you take advantage of that speed.
Yeah, true.
Because, you know, I see updates happening on yours and it's happening the same speed that I do on cable at home.
Yeah.
But anywhere else that you need to use the internet, it's fucking lightning. But the PlayStation itself just doesn't seem to be capable of giving you that speed.
Like, it has moments, which is really weird. Like, depending on what game it is, depending on what update it is, it's like I was downloading something. Mm. There was like one update or one game, like, oh yeah, it's like 8 gig. It's like, oh, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, it picks and chooses what things
you got the same thing. Like, faster. Alex will go to play Overwatch. It's like, oh, you've got a 200 meg update. No, it'll take 3 hours, right?
Oh, really?
What did I get? Persona 5 needed an update. And it's like, it's 2 gig. I was like, get fucked. I want to play it now. Like, 8 minutes?
That's
so the speed's
weird.
Just all over the fucking place. So I don't know whether, you know, it'd be interesting to see if you could...
Depends if you're throttled by time of the day, not sort of garbage as well.
No, I'm not. Or maybe I am. I don't know. Tell me, iiNet. If I didn't have to stream the games, then maybe I would.
Yeah, I'd be the same. Like, I would like it to be able to play some PS3 games on my PS4 because the PS3 sits in here. I've been wanting to jump into some old games to sort of, you know, clear out the not the backlog, but like, yeah, I never finished Portal 2. Yeah, you know, be like, oh, to give things a go, it'd be fun.
Yeah. Answer being, I would like to, but in its current state, no. No, I would not.
Let's see. Best game to play with a viewing buddy, asks Max.
With just a viewing buddy?
Yeah, so I say I was playing it and you were watching with me.
Well, to be topical and relevant, Until Dawn.
Yeah.
Fucking, my daughter's playing it at the moment. She's nearly finished it.
I did notice it popped up on your thing.
Because you've still got the disc. See, she watched a Let's Play of it from one of her favourite YouTubers, Thatcher Joe, I think his name is. Never heard of him. Fucking 15 million subs. Oh, okay, okay. He's a big
deal. Okay, obviously you're someone. Okay, yeah.
He's obviously someone. And she really liked it. I said, well, it's free. You can play it. And you had the disc. So I'm like, oh, well, then I'll just get the digital license. Wouldn't let me. So I had to delete it off my system and re-download the entire fucking game. But no, and my son is watching her play it through. And he doesn't want to play it. It's a little too over the top for him to play.
A bit difficult, yeah.
But viewing, it's an awesome game. I sit there and watch her play it because it's funny watching her make the choices she makes and regretting the choices she makes when things don't go the way she thinks it will.
I think very story-driven stuff is where it's at. So an example is... I think I may have mentioned this last week. So when I went and hung out with my mom and my stepfather, he was playing The Witcher. Mm. And I was sitting with him and just watching him play it. It's like, because I'm like, oh, he's like 60. So it was really funny to watch him play it. But whenever anything got too heavy, he's like, hey, can you do this? I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And my mom and him played the entire Uncharted 4 together that way.
Yeah.
Mum's got bung wrists, so she can't control for too long.
Yeah.
So they would just work together and... play the game. So I think anything story driven is probably
a buddy of mine who I work with, I was about to say, is, you know, he just played through Tales from the Borderlands, and his partner watched him play through it because it's a great funny fun story. So yeah, anything Telltale, The Last of Us again as well, anything big and story related that isn't just, you know, big action dudes wanting to shoot things, you know, something a little deeper, definitely a great couch games.
As parents, that's another question for Max. Because Max was great and sent through a handful. As parents, how are you going to decide what games are age appropriate for your kids? Will you go by the rating on the box, or is that an easy way out?
No, rating on the box, you can't judge it off. I'm pretty lenient with my son, who's 8, to play whatever he wants. Swearing isn't too much of a big deal because I believe that. They know the words. They hear the words all the time, inadvertently or not. I was in Guff with him today, obviously, with a lot of other, you know, gamers between 15 and 25, and it's fucking this and fucking that. They're going to hear it, but the thing with being a parent is letting them know that they're not allowed to say it.
Yeah, these are adult words.
That's a big difference. They know, kids know the words. Whether you think they do or they don't, they know the words, and their YouTubers are going to drop it sometimes too, even if they're kid-friendly.
We do it all the time.
We do it a lot. So no, what I don't let him play is anything with any kind of sexual innuendo and sexual violence.
Mm.
He's really keen to play GTA 5. Not happening.
No.
I know on PC you can mod it to take all that stuff out, but my PC can't play it.
Yeah.
Most horror games are okay. See, I think Until Dawn is okay. Outlast, not okay. Which, I don't know how I made that comparison.
Yeah.
But I think the benefit of being doing what we do and being the age bracket that we are is that we have a bit of a deeper insight than just ratings.
We're incredibly informed.
Yeah.
Ratings
to us kind of mean... Well, to me anyway, ratings mean nothing.
Yeah.
It's any game he's interested in... I normally know enough about to go, yeah, that's cool, you can play that, or give me a bit while I just, you know, research a bit and, you know, maybe watch a couple of videos, or just flat out, no. So, violence is, to the extent of Call of Duty, is okay. Fantasy violence like Skyrim, that's cool. Swearing to the point of maybe Until Dawn, and horror to the point of Until Dawn, that's horror games is up to him because I can't decide for him what he is comfortable in seeing and what he's not comfortable
in seeing. Like what he defines, you know. Like,
see,
you can't say, you'll find this scary. He's like,
and he doesn't, you know. Five Nights at Freddy's, you know. I find Five Nights at Freddy's fucking terrifying, and he loves it, and it doesn't scare him at all.
Mm.
I thought the Wendigos in Until Dawn would scare him. Didn't scare him at all. So I can't judge for him what's too scary, because they grow up with the YouTubers. All the favorite YouTubers play scary games because it gets funny reactions and everything like that. So I can't judge for him what's too scary. As for violence, normal gunplay, you know, Far Cry and Call of Duty, I don't mind that personally. But, you know, GTA 5 is a perfect example of, no, you're not allowed to play that game.
Yeah.
Because there's too much. It's just too much. Too much in volume, I think, is the key point. Is that in a lot of games, it, you know... you'll hear a cutscene and they might drop an F-bomb here and there, and it's kind of spread out. But GTA 5, just everything. It's sex, it's swearing.
Well, because that's what it is.
And that's what the game
is. It's satire on that culture.
Yeah.
And that satire is by Jack and everything. Yeah. 11, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like in the opening scene with Lamar and Franklin, like it's fucking, it's the N-word, you know, it's a, like that conversation is fucking dense with fucking.
Yeah. So you can't just go off ratings.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, the benefit of being the age bracket we are, and especially doing what we do, and, you know, Max is in our age bracket as well, is that you probably know enough about the games they want to play, and it's kind of just, it's up to you to decide. See, like I said, on the swearing side of things, they know the words. They knew the words before they heard them in the game, but the point of parenting is to let them know, no, you can't say this word.
Mm. Yet.
Yet. Yeah, give it maybe 6 years and you can tell me to get fucked when you're 15.
No. See, that's the thing. So you can swear, but you never swear at people.
Yeah, you will. At some point during your teenage years, you will tell me to get fucked.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll pop up. I've done it before.
I never did. I've never sworn at my parents. I swear in conversation with my parents.
Yeah, me too.
But I've never sworn at my parents.
No, I did.
I have way too much respect.
I had,
because they would beat the shit. Like, my parents aren't violent, but like they'd beat the shit out of me.
Late in primary school, I had some anger issues.
Yeah.
And I didn't end up on some meds and stuff. But I think I did once to my mum, and yeah, I got beat the fuck up. And I never did it again. I know if mum listens to this show, but
hey, mum.
I pissed her off really bad, and then I hid in the toilet and I was pissing her off through the door because I locked it. And then she did the whole, Josh, please just come out. We need to just talk.
No.
Not multiple. One. I opened the door and she gets this run up and just goes whack and sends me flying back into the toilet. And I've got like Pokemon.
Lucky you're in there, you've peed yourself.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon, you know, the swirly eyes and the stars. And then mum goes out to my stepdad and grabs a cigarette and she's shaking. She's like, I hit him too hard. I hit him too fucking hard. And she's shaking. I hit him too hard. I don't think I went to school the next day because I had a big handprint on my face. But never did it again. And I think she slapped the anger out of me because...
You're pretty mellow from then on?
Oh, she just like knocked a brainstem out or something.
She dislodged the part of your brain that makes you mad.
But yeah, it's up to you as a parent to decide. You know, ratings don't mean too much.
See, for me, my son's 7 months old, 8 months old. Like, I've got nothing but time. So, granted, the other day, I've told this story before. He was sitting on my lap, I'm playing God of War. He's looking directly at the TV. I'm like, probably shouldn't do this.
Nah.
Like, I'm like maiming like minotaurs and shit. I'm like...
Yeah, actually, God of War is another one I haven't let him play.
Yeah, just because it's brutal.
It's over the top.
Yeah.
And there are boobies and stuff in it too. So I don't...
And that's like odd sex minigame.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It's in God of War 2, wasn't it?
It's in all of them.
Is it?
It's in 3 as well. Because I was playing with James. James was right on the TV. I'm like...
this is how you were made.
I'm like... I felt really uncomfortable.
The thing is, at that age, they're obviously not comprehending.
Shit.
Yeah, like, no, they're not comprehending.
He's having his finger in his mouth.
They're not comprehending what they're seeing.
My plan with it, like, obviously, the plan, when plan with parenting, don't plan parenting. Like, it's kind of, you change, you adapt.
Oh, well, planned parenthood is something completely else.
No, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, I'm going to show my son this, this, and this. It's like, you know, that's pretty much a shit.
They might like
for
it.
For me,
at all.
It'll come down to judging him as a person. Mm. So, like, you know, because the guidelines and the ratings, they are incredibly important and they're there to help inform people that aren't informed.
Yeah.
So we're, as you mentioned, we're in a really good place that we can, even when it comes to movies, right, we know what movies they shouldn't be watching.
Well, yeah, my mum took them to see Spider-Man last week. She said, can he see Spider-Man? It's rated M. I'm thinking, it's fucking Spider-Man.
It's fun.
It's cool. Don't worry about it. Guardians of the Galaxy, M.
Yeah.
I guarantee you more than... around 50% of the audience are underage.
Yeah, without doubt.
Without doubt.
So for me, it's going to be sort of understanding who he is and his personality. Like, as you said, like, you know what Alex sort of is and isn't afraid of. So you know where he'll sit. Like, until James is old enough for me to sort of understand that, like, I was this fucking scared little kid.
Yeah.
So, like,
we did have such classics as Alone in the Dark and Silent Hill.
Yeah, which I played. I didn't play them until I was, like, much older.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So it's like my parents were pretty restricted on what I couldn't see. So like I'll probably be somewhere in the middle. I'm like, okay, well let's test the waters.
That's what you gotta do. You need to test the waters.
Yeah. And like you said, the guidelines are great. Because I'll know what we can and can't watch. I'm not a fucking idiot. So
yeah.
It's wait and see.
The scariest thing is when it comes to online games.
Mm.
Now, because Roblox is an online game and you're playing with millions of people. It's ridiculous how many people are playing this. And somehow, I don't know how they do it, but I've never seen a curse word in their chat box. They asterisk it.
Yeah.
And occasionally you see like the fuck with the F space 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 U space space yeah. C. But they do a good job. But it's also a matter of in Roblox you can befriend people and send messages, and you don't know who is doing that. Mm. And you know, the online thing, he's new to that, and I'm keeping an eye on it where I can, because that's something you don't have control of.
Yeah.
You don't have full control. If he's playing a game and you're like, that's too much, off. But you know, if he's playing Roblox on his iPad and someone I don't know is messaging him, and well, I don't know that, you know, so that's a scary thing to kind of come to terms with.
Yeah, see, like my input on this conversation is like, you've dropped some really cool insight, I think, in this little chat. It's good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Lee's asked a ton, so I'm gonna try find some simple ones. VR, will we ever see it sub 400? Not yet.
Or will we ever?
At some point. Well, like, when they release the second one, no. Once they release, if they release an upgrade, yes, because the original will be cheaper. But it is high-end tech. It's it's like boutique niche market tech. Mm. That shit's expensive. Like, it's early, you know, early adopter stuff. Given the new Spider-Man game style, do you hope that there are other superheroes that get the Arkham style treatment? Yes. See, they always talk about like Superman would be a cool Arkham game, but there's the same problem with Superman.
How do you balance that?
Superman's like ultimate, like he can beat the shit out of many things.
I'd love a Flash game with the super speed, but balancing that around like, you know, your regular yobos.
Yeah.
It seems really difficult.
And the other disadvantage of Flash being super fast is the same problem they have. They're not problem. The same thing they sort of mentioned with Spider-Man. That's map size, right? If you can zoom across that map in 8 seconds,
yeah, true.
How you know that you have to make a pretty big world.
Yes, but the thing is, I want them to come up with the idea. As in, like before Arkham Asylum came out. If you asked anyone the same question, they would have said with Batman, well, how do you balance that around regular people?
Mm.
But they did, and it worked. So I think coming up with how to do that ourselves, you know, we're not developers, is really difficult.
Yeah.
But if the same question was asked before we knew Arkham Asylum was a thing, it would have been the same thing on Batman. Well, how do you balance that around just fighting regular dudes? And they did, and they did it really fucking well.
But he's not
super powered either.
Yeah, it's been rumored for a while there'd be a good Justice League Arkham game. I think that would be interesting to see.
Mm.
Only because I'd like to see how they all work together. And it'd be obviously very similar to like Marvel Ultimate Alliance. You know, how you'd have a team of three and you'd work and you'd fight together and you do cool combos. I think that would be interesting to see.
Yeah. Or they take it to the Injustice universe where everyone's popping pills to make them strong.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other little questions here and there, but I think that pretty much wraps it up. We've talked about what's from the players.
Yeah.
We're going to move it to what's coming to the players. Bad segue. Here's games that are coming out this week.
There's a lot, dude. There's 25.
Dang.
It's insane. I'll speed through them and we can talk about any ones that interest us. A Healer Only Lives Twice, PS4 Digital. Active Soccer 2 DX, PS4, PS Vita Digital Crossbuy. Avon Colony, PS4 Digital. Circuit Breakers, PS4 Digital. Collar X Malice, PS Vita Digital. Constructor, PS4 Digital. Fortnite, PS4 Digital and Retail. Heroes of the Seven Seas, PSVR Digital. Infinite Mini Golf, PSVR Digital. It's Spring Again, PS Vita Digital. Leaving Lindau, PS4 Digital. Lost Grimoire, Stolen Kingdom, PS4 Digital. Polara, PS Vita Digital. Pressure Overdrive, PS4 Digital. Pyre, PS4 Digital. Rugby League Live 4, PS4 Digital. Smashbox Arena, PS4 Digital. Sundered, PS4 Digital. Super Cloud Built, PS4 Digital. Theseus, PSVR Digital. Tiny Tracks, PSVR Digital. Unboxed Newbie's Adventure, PS4 Digital. Vostok Incorporated.
A lot of VR games, a lot of box games.
4 VR games.
Nothing really jumps out. There's no big hitter this week.
None of the thumbnails dropped. I remember reading about Pyre. I remember hearing about Pyre.
Yeah.
But I can't see a picture. So it's not, you know, doing it, getting
the juices flowing.
Not jogging my memory.
Yeah.
PS
VR mini golf sounds fun.
Heroes of the Seven Seas PSVR. Play as a pirate seeking the legendary Seven Seas artifacts in the VR world. Infinite Mini Golf. Have fun in Infinite Mini Golf and a never-ending mini golf experience. Take part in tournaments and challenges. Use arcade-style power-ups and experience unique gameplay, great graphics, and more. That could be fun.
That would be interesting.
Could be fun.
But the one game I'm still thinking about, I'm still think we need to do a stream of is Super Hot in VR.
Which one's that one again?
That's the You're the Black Guy. You're a black prism
silhouette person
shooting red.
Oh, the red ones, people. Yeah. And they only move when you move.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So you can dodge bullets and then smack the bullets out of the way and then whip a cup at them and then
yeah.
Looks awesome fun.
Is it worth using the green screen for VR Let's Plays?
Yeah.
Can we do something with that?
Yeah, man. When we last did the far point, we just used the camera and it's kind of dodgy. But we could use the green screen map behind, get rid of the back of us and put us in the corner of the screen.
Hmm.
So we could change. We'd have to change the layout of what we do, but totally doable.
The possibilities of a green screen. But the rest of the games,
pretty quiet week.
Yeah.
A lot of games. A
ton of indie games.
Kind of quiet.
Your Vitas are getting about 10 games. That's good if you're still playing Vita, but most of the Vita games also come to PS4 anyway. So, yeah.
But anyway, that pretty much wraps up the show. Josh?
If you liked that conversation, you can wait.
So, you want to try again?
Yeah, I'm thinking. If you would also like to join in future PlayStation conversations, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. We're also on Facebook and all other major social media outlets. But the main conversation happens on our Facebook community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. And if you really like what we do, please consider jumping over to Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers over there. There might be something that interests you.
Yeah.
That's where you say your name and I say my name and you say For the Players.
Cool. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.